for reading the Word of God to us. We are a church that believes the Bible is God's Word, and it is good for us to hear it read and to hear it taught. Would you join me in thanking our Connect volunteers? They were the ones who walked out into the rain with the umbrellas. Hopefully they kept you from getting wet this morning. Weather has been awful, and so we're thankful for them serving in this way. There was a family that was getting ready for a Christmas trip, and it wasn't just any Christmas trip. They were flying from the United States to France, and this was a pretty big family. There were the mom and dad, and then they had five kids, and so getting them to school, that alone was a big deal. Getting them on an international flight was like a military operation. And so they decided they were going to go on this trip, and it wasn't just them. They had some family tag along, and that family added two more adults and more kids. In total, there were four adults and 11 kids, and before they left, they were all in one house. 11 kids in one house. Now, that's like a little nation right there under one roof. And you can imagine things got a little bit crazy. The night before the flight, people were running around trying to find the last minute items to put in their bags. There were kids screaming at each other. There were kids, you know, wrestling, fighting each other. Just normal family bonding stuff when you're a kid, I guess. And things were getting more wild and more wild as the night went on. Eventually, a police officer showed up at the house. And then a pizza guy walks in carrying 10 pizzas, the perfect dinner right before you get on a 12-hour flight, I guess. And so this just got worse and worse and worse. And during dinner, a fight broke out between two of the kids. Soda spills everywhere. One kid gets pinned between a chair and a wall. One of the people spilled Coke all over their clothes, and then eventually, as this is happening, they're cleaning it all up. One of the plane tickets gets thrown away, and they don't even realize it. It was absolute madness. It was crazy. It was a zoo. That's what the holidays can be like sometimes, right? Now, don't be worried about this family. They're the McAllister family from Home Alone. It's a movie. It's not real. But you know, that's what the holidays can be like. And maybe you hear that description that I just gave and you're like, Sean, that is silent night compared to what my home is normally like during the holidays. Well, if that's the case, bless your heart. We'll pray for you. But all of us, I think, feel some of the stress around the holidays. You've got company coming in town. You've got all of these Christmas parties to go to. You've got that one gift that you're trying to find because you should have bought it a month ago, and now it's sold out everywhere except on eBay for $900. And you're like, oh, man. That's how Christmas can be. It's hectic. It's wild. It's busy. And by the time you get to Christmas Day, all you want for Christmas is peace. Have you ever been there before? Well, today we're continuing our series where we are looking at the gifts of Christmas. And as we study Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, we'll see what God wants us to know about the gift of peace. Three things God wants us to know about the gift of peace. So let's start with the first thing he wants us to know. Number one, we need peace. So if you have your Bible, look with me at Luke chapter 2, verse 8. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." So Luke tells us that on the night that Jesus was born, there were shepherds. They were staying out in their fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Now for us, shepherds feel familiar. You know what I'm saying? Like, shepherds can even feel a little comforting for us. Because we think of those nativity scenes that people set out, and we look at it and go, oh, that's cute. Some little shepherd boys with their baby lambs sitting there probably drinking hot chocolate, singing Away in the Manger. But that's not how it was for shepherds. Number one, hot chocolate wasn't invented until the 1500s, so that couldn't happen. But also, the life of a shepherd was completely different. They weren't these cute and quaint people that we think of when we look at the nativity sets. Shepherds, instead, were rough and tumble guys. There are these old Jewish writings. They were called the Mishnah and the Talmud. And they kind of give us a glimpse into how people thought back then. They were written after Jesus, maybe 100, 200 years after Jesus, but they still tell us how people thought in Jesus' day. And they do not paint a pretty picture of shepherds. Three words that they use to describe shepherds are sinners, unreliable, and incompetent. Yeah, I have been called far worse than those three words, but hey, that's not exactly a good description, is it? You know, that's not something that you would put on your resume. That's the type of thing that would get you thrown out of an interview if someone read that about you. Shepherds were outcasts that people avoided. A lot of them were criminals that were shamed. And they were looked down on because they were dirty guys working dirty jobs. And so we have this description here of what happens with them. Now, on top of what they were always... on edge because their job was really dangerous. In the dark of the night, they would have thieves and lions and wolves that would come after their sheep. And the job of the shepherd was to fight off those things or die trying. Now, here's the point I'm trying to make. Their lives were stressful. They were messy. They were exhausting. They needed peace. And the angel appears to them. This unbelievably bright light shines all around them, and they are terrified. And you've got to wonder, when this happens, if one of them, or maybe multiple of them, are thinking, oh, great, you know, here we go. This majestic beast up in the sky is here to do something, probably hurt me. You know, I've heard about these things on those Discovery Channel shows I watch, but I didn't know they were real life. And of course, it would happen to me. This is just par for the course of my life. Or maybe they were thinking, my mistakes have finally caught up with me. All of the things that I have done in my life has led me to here, and I'm going to die out here alone, apart from my family. Maybe this is what I deserve. Well, you can imagine these shepherds thinking or feeling this, and here's what I believe. I believe that the shepherds are a picture of the human heart. What the shepherds dealt with back then, what they felt, what they thought, is what a lot of us think and feel right now. Just like them, we live in fear. Just like them, we live with shame. Just like them, we live with situations that we cannot fix. Just like them, we live with problems that we don't know the answer to. Just like them, we live in a dark world and we need someone to come bring the light to us. These shepherds weren't peaceful. They were desperate for peace. And the truth is, so are we. Don't you need peace in your life? Well, if you don't think that you're desperate for peace, then just for a second, think about your phone. How many notifications do you get on your phone every day? In the billions? Well, that's what it feels like sometimes. You get notifications about everything. You get notifications about calendar events. You get notifications about Facebook posts. You get notifications about texts, about your doorbell camera. You get notifications about your Amazon package being delayed. Again, I mean, don't even get me started on that one. And on top of all of that, you might even get added to a group chat, and then your phone never calms down. If you look at your phone, it feels like you can't do anything without having 20 notifications pop up. And at some point, it starts to feel like your phone is just bullying you. Right? That's your life. That's my life. And what we wish is that we could just turn the phone off, or we could just set it down. We could just leave it in the other room. We could just throw it off a bridge and have some peace. That's what we hope for. You know what it shows us? You need peace in your life, just like me. Well, that's what these shepherds needed too. They needed peace, and it's why the first words of the angel are so important. He says, "Don't be afraid." When he says that, he's not just giving them a suggestion. He is offering them rescue. He is saying, you don't have to live like this. He is offering them peace. Exactly what you need. Before the angel explains everything, God speaks peace into the shepherd's sphere. Before he details the good news, he calms their hearts. Before he describes the Savior, he tells them that they don't have to be afraid anymore. And if the shepherds show us anything, it's this. We need peace, and we can't give it to ourselves. So that's the first thing that God wants us to know about this gift of peace. We need peace. But it's not the only thing that he wants us to know. He wants us to know, number two, you can have peace. So look at what the angel says into our need for peace. Verse 10, if you have your Bible. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. For look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors. The shepherds were afraid because you have this angel, which is this majestic being that appears before them, and this extremely bright light shines around them. It breaks into their darkness, but then the angel begins the message with this, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For all the people. Now you can imagine that some of those shepherds were thinking, yeah, I bet there is good news of great joy for some people, but not me. Not with my job, not with my past, not with my situation, not with my habits, not with my decisions, not with my family, not with my health, not with my life. I'm sure peace is for someone, but not for me. And so the angel wants to make sure that they really understand what he is saying. And so look with me at verse 11. He says to them, today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. God wants these shepherds to know, these people who were outcast, who were despised, exhausted, who were overlooked. He wanted them to know, this Savior is for you. He's showing us this peace is for everyone. I was going through my email the other day, and I got this email from a place, a store that my kids and my wife would actually like to have something from. You know, they offer a lot of different things, and I'm already stressed around Christmas because I'm trying to find the right gift for my wife. Guys, I don't know if you go through this, but every year it's the same. I'm like, okay, hey, I could get this. Okay, well, is that actually what she wants? Is this worth it? And I'll do this research. I will go to stores. I'll get on Amazon. And eventually, I will find exactly what I think she needs, an Amazon gift card. You know, and that's basically saying, here, you shop. I tried. But I got this email, and I was convinced, hey, this time will be different. I will break the streak. Because in this email was a coupon. 50% off one item. I'm thinking, oh, this is perfect. You know, this year, I'm going to get her something that she wants, and it won't be a gift card. It is going to be the perfect gift. So I click on the coupon, and it takes me to the website. And wouldn't you know it, there was fine print. And by fine print, I mean 157 pages of legal jargon. So I start reading through it, and it says, excludes clearance items. Okay, well, I mean, that's kind of understandable. They're already on clearance. But it says, excludes clearance items, sale items, regular priced items, items under $5, items over $5, hot items, cold items. I mean, it basically said, here's a coupon, but it is not valid for anything that you would actually want to buy in this store. Merry Christmas. And I was like, that was so frustrating to me because I thought that this was a great coupon, but it turns out it's not really for me. Well, I wonder if you maybe feel that way about God's peace. You say, yeah, it's good news, but probably excluded in my case. And maybe some of you come in here today and you hear about this good news, you read about this good news that was pronounced at Christmas time, this peace that you could have, and you think to yourself, well, good for the shepherds that they got some peace, but I know that I can't have that peace. Not with my job, not with my past, not with my situation, not with my habits, not with my decisions, not with my family, not with my health, not with my life. Peace, I'm sure, is for someone, but not for me. Well, if that's you today, if you think that you can't have peace in your life, then I just want you to hear God's word to you again from verse 11. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you. This good news is for you. You can have peace. Jesus didn't come to give peace to people who already have it all together. Jesus didn't come to give peace to the ones who have already succeeded in every other area of life. Jesus didn't come to give peace to the people who have 95% of life figured out and they just need help with the last 5%. No, Jesus came for all people. That means he came for the ones who run massive companies and the ones who have run their lives into the ground. He came for the ones who are sitting in corner offices and the ones who are sitting in rehab clinics. He came for the ones with impressive resumes and the ones with long rap sheets. He came for the ones sitting in business suits and the ones who are wearing hospital gowns. Jesus came for the proud and the ashamed, the religious and the rebellious, the winners and the worn out. Because the gift that Jesus gives us, this peace that he gives us, isn't earned. It's given. It is not a reward for your good behavior. It is a gift for broken people like us. So no matter who you are, no matter where you have been, no matter what you are going through, you can have peace. That's the second thing God wants us to know about this gift of peace. And then there is a third thing, and it is this: your peace is Jesus. At heart, I am an older man wrapped in a slightly younger man's body. Yeah. And so it will not surprise you to know that I am not a big fan of announcing everything in your life to the world. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that people need to know everything that you ate for Thanksgiving. I just don't. I mean, a private conversation, sure, but do you need to post a picture? Here's my first plate. Here's my second plate. Here's my third plate. Now, you know, some things should stay between you and your fork. That's how I feel. But there is one thing that I think is cool. I think it's cool when people announce that they're having a baby. This is a huge deal. That is absolutely life-changing. And so, yes, you should put that on Facebook for your family and your friends and the people you see on there, but they're not actually your friends, but they friend requested you. Yeah, put it on there so that they can see you are having a baby. But let's be honest. Baby announcements have gotten way out of hand. It is way over the top now. I saw this one the other day, and it was outrageous. This couple rented a concert hall. They hired a full orchestra, and they did this dramatic countdown. And at the end of that countdown, this spotlight was shining on this banner that dropped down from the ceiling that said, "Coming soon, baby number two." You know, it's just like, I mean, at that point, just contact Ticketmaster, sell prices or sell tickets for this event, make some money on it if you're going to do that. Now, I didn't actually see that. I made that up. But come on, you can imagine something like that happening, right? You can imagine it because these have gotten so out of hand. But no baby announcement ever compares to the announcement that we see about Jesus in verse 11. Look at it with me. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors." This is the best baby announcement in history. But there's no gender reveal. There is no, ultrasound pictures. You know, there's no post on Instagram. We're just so blessed to announce this. No, instead, it says this: "Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord." Now, there are three words there, three titles, three names that describe Jesus: Savior, Messiah, and Lord. And every one of these names explains why Jesus is your peace. So the first one is Jesus is the Savior. He rescues you from the root of your unrest. The angel doesn't say a life coach has been born for you. It doesn't say a motivational speaker has been born for you. He doesn't even say a counselor has been born for you. And good news, this one actually takes your insurance. Now that's not what he says. Instead, a Savior is born for you. Because the real reason that we lack peace is not because life is hard. It's that sin has broken our relationship with God. And nothing in creation can fix that. But our Savior, who came to redeem us with his perfect life, with his sacrificial death, and with his glorious resurrection. Romans 5:1 puts it this way: "Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Savior, Jesus Christ." Peace with God comes from one place: Jesus, your Savior. Jesus is your peace. And then it says Jesus is the Messiah. That is, he is the King who brings peace. Last week we talked about Isaiah 9:6, and in that passage it calls Jesus the Prince of Peace. Not the Prince of, "I hope this works out." Not the Prince of, "fingers crossed." The Prince of Peace. Now, the world is trying to manufacture peace in all these different ways: through politics, through policies, through programs, through power, through productivity apps, even through things like, it has to start with a P, so peppermint essential oil, you know, like, "Hey, this will fix all your problems." But guess what? It does. I mean, that's never fixed a marital conflict, no matter how good it smells. The world tries to create peace, tries to find peace, but guess what? It can't. It's not possible. You know that you can't download peace. You know that you can't vote peace into office. You know that you can't buy peace at the store. You cannot manifest peace into existence. Lasting peace only exists under the reign of the Messiah King, Jesus. Jesus is your peace. And then the third name that he has given: Jesus is Lord. That means he rules over all things. If Jesus was only a teacher, then his peace would only last as long as your attention span. If Jesus was only a healer, then his peace would only last until your next crisis. If Jesus was only an influencer, then his peace would last until the algorithm changes. But he is Lord. He is God in the flesh. He is ruler of everything. Which means his peace is not fragile, it's not temporary, it's not emotional, it's not seasonal. His peace is permanent because his authority is permanent. He not only calms your situation, he controls creation. Your peace is Jesus. But have you ever gone on vacation thinking, "You know, this is it. This time, I'm finally going to be able to rest. I'm going to have peace. I'm going to go up to the mountains. I'm going to sit by the stream. I'm going to listen to the babbling water. I'm going to eat great food. I'm going to take some naps. It's going to be so peaceful." And then reality hits. You know, day one, you are eaten alive by mosquitoes the size of hummingbirds. Day two, the kids start wrestling all day like they're trying to get in the WWE. Day three, someone gets sick. Day four, you realize you spent your entire vacation budget at the gift shop. And day five, you come back more exhausted than when you left. Well, that happens because no matter where you go, your lack of peace comes with you. You can't outdrive it. You can't out-vacation it. You can't out-relax it. You know why that's the case? Because peace is not a place. Peace is not a plan. Peace is not a feeling. Peace is a person, and his name is Jesus. At Christmas, we are remembering that Jesus is the gift of peace given to you. So you don't have to live with chaos in your heart. You don't have to live with fear about the future. You don't have to live with guilt about your past. You don't have to live with shame over your mistakes. You don't have to live with anxiety that keeps you up at night. You don't have to live with burdens too heavy for your soul. Instead, you can live with peace because Jesus is your peace. So that's the third and final thing God wants us to know about this gift of peace today. With the Christmas season being so hectic, so busy, so crazy, you might feel like peace is impossible. But peace is a gift from God. You need peace. You can have peace, and your peace is Jesus. So this season, enjoy the gift of peace in your Savior, Jesus. But if you have come here today, and Jesus is not your Savior, then I just want to share with you for a second. You long for peace, just like everybody. And maybe you've looked for peace in different places, in success, and health, and experiences, in family, in wealth. But the truth is, you haven't found it. In fact, you can't find it. You never will, unless you turn to Jesus. The reason that you don't have peace is because you are in conflict with God. Just like me, you have sinned against God. He is your creator, but you have lived for yourself instead of for him. And because you are in conflict in that relationship with God, then nothing in your life feels peaceful. And there's nothing that you could ever do to bring peace between you and God. No matter how many good works you do, no matter how many gifts you give, no matter how many people you help, you can't bring peace between you and God. But here's the good news. Jesus brings peace between us sinners and God. Jesus, who is fully God and fully man, left the glory and the comfort of heaven to come down here. He stepped down into our chaos, and he came to bring us peace. And he did that by dealing with sin. That's the root of all of the bad in our lives and in the world. But Jesus lived a sinless life. He lived the perfect life. Yet he died a sinner's death. He died in our place. As he died, he paid for our sin with his life. And now, if we have faith in Jesus, our sins are forgiven, and we receive the gift of peace. And because we are forgiven, because our sin has been taken care of, there is no disconnection between us and God. There is no warfare. There is no conflict between us and God. Instead, we have a relationship with God, and we have peace. So if you've never put your faith in Jesus, then you need to do it right now. Come to God and say, I know I've sinned, and I long for peace, and I can't find it anywhere else, but please forgive me because of who Jesus is and what he has done. And if you trust Jesus in your heart, then your sins will be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of peace. So do that now. Maybe you have questions about it. Maybe you want to talk to someone about it. Maybe you want someone to pray with you. If that's the case, I'm going to be standing right down here as we sing this last song. So come, as everybody else is singing, let's talk about what it means to trust in Jesus and have this gift of peace. And after the service, as everybody else is leaving, I'm going to be hanging around down here waiting to talk with you. Do not leave here today without trusting in Jesus and receiving the gift of peace. But before we sing this last song, I want to speak to those in here who are already Christians, who already trust in Jesus. You know you have peace with God, but listen to me. This gift of peace is not like a Christmas decoration that you just put on a shelf and you just look at. No, it is meant to shape your life. This means that you don't have to walk through this season with an anxious heart. You don't have to carry that guilt around that Jesus has already paid for. You don't have to chase peace in 1,000 lesser places. No, you already have peace because you already have him. And so as we sing this last song, respond today by resting in the peace that Jesus purchased for you. Take your fear to him. Take your worry to him. Take your burdens to him. Take your restless heart to him. And receive the gift of peace. Let the Savior who came for you speak these words again. Don't be afraid. There is peace on earth. So let's be people who not only receive the gift of peace, but let's be people who walk in it, who live in it, and who show it to the world, because Jesus, our Savior, has given us peace. Would you pray with me? Father, you are so good to us. We don't deserve this peace. We have all made decisions that have brought conflict. We have all made decisions to sin that have separated us from you. Lord, we have all rebelled against you. But thank you that you are gracious. Thank you that you give us this gift that we could never earn, this gift of peace. So I pray today, Lord, whatever is stealing our peace from us, let us give it to you. Whether that is anger that is boiling inside of our hearts, whether it is stress from everything that's going on, or whether it is regret over what we have done, Lord, we bring it to you now. Let us exchange these things for the gift of peace. I ask if there is someone in here who has not trusted in Jesus, Lord, that you would show them their sin, their need for a Savior. You would show them Jesus who died for sinners like us. I pray, Lord, that they would respond in faith and experience this gift of peace. Let it be for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.